Hello, hello everyone, and welcome back. If you are new to me, I'm Shua Allegra, the founder of Grace and Hope Consulting, where we help people achieve mental and emotional wellness, reach their full potential, and live fulfilling lives. Everything we do here evolves around resilience, and I'm inviting new friends to the table to talk about resilience, what that looks like in their lives. They get to share their stories and more about what they do, and then together we learn how we can build resilience by learning from them. So today I have Peter with me. Welcome, Peter.
Hi, Shu. How are you, dear?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am very well.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. And so I just want to kind of dive right in. And if you don't mind sharing a little bit about yourself, who you are and what you do.
Well, I am a 65-year-old graduate of the University of Georgia, go national champion, Georgia Bulldogs. Born in Michigan, moved to Texas, moved to Boston, and then to Atlanta when I was 9 years old. Ended up in Atlanta and went to University of Georgia. 4 years after I got a marketing degree, 4 years after graduation, moved to Chicago, came full circle and just returned to Georgia in 2016.
Okay.
And that was following a divorce that caused some financial hardship. I have two stellar sons, age 21 and age 18. And you can do the math and realize we got a late start. But in 2018, I was facing financial hardship, and I just by chance embarked on looking for artifacts from a guy named Louis Grizzard, who was a columnist for the Atlanta Journal and the Atlanta Constitution, UGA grad, who was a humorist. His humor is ageless. He died young in 1994. At the age of 47, he was born with a heart defect, and he had four heart surgeries, but he was syndicated in Seattle, Washington. He was syndicated in Los Angeles, in New York, and his humor is quite ageless. They called him the Mark Twain of the 20th century. And I just started looking for his stuff. And
what led to that? If I might interject a little bit, what led to looking to his stuff? How did you even stumble upon him? There's definitely, I assume, a lot of authors back then too. And just what was the pull for him or towards him?
Well, if I can expand on him, somebody needs to Google Louis Grizzard, L-E-W-I-S, Grizzard, G-R-I-Z-Z-A-R-D.
Okay.
And you'll find pages and pages of results. He wrote 25 books, 20 of which were New York Times bestsellers. He was on The Tonight Show with David Letterman. He was, or Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. He was on David Letterman. He was on Larry King. And I just think he's the greatest humorist America ever produced. So, he was born in Moreland, Georgia, a small town of about 400 people, southwest of Atlanta. And I went to a museum in his honor. And it's lovely. It's got a bed quilt made by his mother from his boyhood pajamas.
No way.
And Louis
artifacts, right?
Yeah, and Louis Grizzard in the 1990s refused to use even an electric typewriter or a word processor he used manual typewriters. He wanted to hear noise while he worked, but he was a very fast keyboarder. He probably had a photographic memory. He was very likely a speed reader. And so I went to that museum, and then I asked, where is the rest of his stuff? And they said, Well, probably at the University of Georgia, my alma mater. So I was heading there the following week, and I met a guy who was a former president of the University of Georgia Board of Regents. Mm-hmm. And he knew Lewis, and I asked, you know, has anybody written a book about him? Is anybody writing a book about him? And he pondered, and he said, no. And I think if someone was or did, I would know about it. I said, well, why is this guy's legacy fading?
Wow.
And he pondered, and he said, I don't know. Maybe somebody needs to champion the cause. Maybe that's you.
Mm.
And the hair on my neck stood up, Shu. Before long, I was in the living room of Vince and Barbara Dooley. Vince Dooley was the head coach for University of Georgia when we won our last national championship in 1980. And Louis Gossard famously said, if you live a good life, when you die, you will go to Vince and Barbara Dooley's living room.
Mm.
And I found myself in their living room. Louis had a Labrador retriever named Catfish that became as beloved to Grizzard fans as Lewis himself.
Wow.
And he got Catfish as a puppy from Barbara and Vince Dooley. Barbara and Vince Dooley are still with us. Vince became a legendary athletic director after having been a coach at University of Georgia. And they had as many questions of me as I had of them. They knew Lewis when he was a freshman at University of Georgia, didn't want to work for the student newspaper. He didn't want to work for the Athens Banner Herald. That is the paper that survives today. There was an upstart newspaper called the Athens Daily News. Okay. Athens in that day was the smallest town in America with two competing newspapers. And Lewis wanted to work for this upstart. And they were very creative, very imaginative. And long story short, Lewis was hired out of University of Georgia a credit hour short of graduation to become the age 23 sports editor of the Atlanta Journal.
Wow.
They knew his genius. Mm-hmm. And he was there and was recognized as a brilliant editor. And then the Chicago Sun-Times recruited him. Lewis didn't like to sit still for long. He freelanced for Sports Illustrated. He wrote public relations for the Atlanta Falcons. But the Chicago Sun-Times hired him to come up to Chicago to be, at maybe age 25, the sports editor of the Chicago Sun-Times.
Wow.
And he was a fish out of water. He was a Southerner in Chicago. He had fun there, but he was a Southerner. He didn't like the weather. He would wear Gucci loafers and no socks, even when there were 3 feet of snow in Chicago. long story short, they offered him the executive editor position of the entire newspaper when he was still in his 20s.
That's amazing.
Can you imagine? And he just said, my gosh, but I want to get back to Georgia. And so he went back to Georgia, and he was sports editor for a while. And a guy named Jim Minter, who was editor of the Chicago Sun, the Atlanta Journal, said, your hands are kind of tied editing sports. Why don't you go write a general column And Lewis said, what will I write about? He said, you'll figure it out. And Lewis went on to hang out his dirty laundry for the whole world to see. Mm. And the world loved him for it. I mean, he made fun of there were no sacred cows. He made fun of everybody, but mostly he made fun of himself. And I've gone too far down this rabbit hole, but he has, having written two books about him, I'm now a public speaker about him. Louis Grizzard in the day sold out the Fox Theater in Atlanta, sold out.
Wow.
Sold out theaters across America, casino, ballroom, whatever you call them, multiple nights in Las Vegas. And he would be paid up to $25,000 a night to talk.
Back then, yeah.
To talk for an hour or 90 minutes. I'm not there yet. and I don't portray Louis Grizzard. I tell stories about him that the world has never heard.
Yeah.
And Louis had friends that were those that are still with us. You know, he didn't hang around with no chumps. They were very funny, with few exceptions. Well, with almost no exceptions, his surviving friends are devout Christians. Mm-hmm. They are humble, they are modest, they are funny, and I've told their stories in my first and second books, and I've got a couple other books that are not Louis Grizzard related, and I have more books in my head than I have time left on this earth to write. But shoot, I'll ask questions and I will answer them.
Yeah, thank you for, you know, kind of sharing. I never heard of him, so I feel honored to have, you know, learn more about him than I knew before you and I started talking. And I just, I'm curious to, you know, when you start sharing your story, you're saying how, you know, you were going for a divorce and, you know, think times were tough financially. And then you stumble upon this amazing person. You're like, you know, learn more about him and then start sharing him with the world. And now you've written books. And I want to just maybe touch a little bit on that transition for you. I know, you know, as a divorcee myself, it's not easy, not just financially, but even emotionally, right? It takes a toll on us. So how has been writing and finding, obviously I hear passion as you're sharing about, you know, about Louis. So I was just wondering, you know, how's that journey been for you? You know, has that helped you, you know, finding something you're passionate about and pursuing that? How's that helped you in your own journey of, you know, resilience during those hard times?
Well, when I was going through those hard times, I had people that said, you got to do something different. You know, you got to go get three jobs. You're never going to work your way out of debt unless you get three jobs. And I gave that serious consideration, but my heart was telling me something different. And I've had two careers. I had one career in corporate events and one career selling real estate, and I always wrote, and I my happy place was always when I was writing.
You went back to your happy place during your hard times.
You bet. And I just said, I'm not going to listen to these naysayers. I would find myself telling certain people, one can only follow a single master. And you people are trying to be my master. And that came from all directions. And I said, no, I've got one master. That is God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't tell Yeshua how many God things happened where he's saying to me, you're doing the right thing. Just keep going. Just keep going. Yeah. And I did. And so now I'm a public speaker and I'm a member of a chamber of commerce and a Rotary Club and still devoted to service. Mm-hmm. And you know, your past is your past. Yeah. Don't hang your past failures on yourself.
Mm, that's no good advice there. Don't hang your past failures on yourself.
Chu, I'm 65 years old. And I wish I had started writing in my 20s. I did, but not for a living. Mm-hmm. And I write conversationally. I do some freelance writing. And when I apply to write for something, they'll say, well, do you write AP style, which is the Associated Press, or Chicago style? You can look both of those up. Mm-hmm. I write conversational style. I could tell you what AP style and Chicago style is.
But that's not my style, right?
I don't care.
Being authentic, yeah.
I write like I talk. And that's what Louis Grizzard did. And I think people relate to that.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, probably more relatable, for sure. People connect with those. Yeah.
If you want to throw your $9 million impressive vocabulary out at readers, you will alienate mm-hmm. most of your readers. I try to write to a sixth grade reading level, mm-hmm. which is a sweet spot. Mm-hmm. Cerebral people won't object to it, mm-hmm. and the common people in America will relate to it. Mm-hmm. And it just flows.
I hope
that's what I aspire to do, and I aspire to revive the legacy of this guy that I think
that's amazing.
He was a rogue Methodist. He partied hard. He drank a lot. He smoked, chain smoked, but he could recite scripture all day long. Wow. And so in so many ways he was a prophet. Back in the 1990s he wrote one book. He said, I haven't understood anything that happened since 1964 or thereabouts. He was an old school, old family values person. Before the 1990s, he lamented that the world was passing him by in terms of all sorts of crazy things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned something that I just wanted to go back and revisit, how, you know, everyone had an idea of what you should do to get out of your situation. And I sometimes find that, you know, it's not always out of bad intention. Sometimes people mean well, but in meaning well, they can still derail you from what you need to be doing or should be doing or want to be doing in the season, right? In order to, you know, rise above from it and move forward. And so thank you for kind of sharing that. You know, it's you being true to yourself, going back to your sweet spot. It can be hard. Your happy place can be hard for all of us when we're going through hardship to actually revisit those things that bring us joy, things that help us come alive. But that's how we find resilience. It's remember there is beauty in life, right? There are things that make us, give us a sense of accomplishment, sense of worth, and you know, ways to contribute that are fulfilling. And if we can dig more into that during a hardship, then it helps us do what you're talking about, serving. And I know that's something that's close to your heart. So since all of this, and I know you're busy writing and speaking, you mentioned earlier too, that just, you know, having a hard to serve and finding more opportunity to do so, and how are maybe some of the ways that you've been, you know, serving others during this time?
You bet. I put the naysayers behind me, and what I aspired to do was surround myself with people more successful than me. Mm-hmm. figure out a way to serve them. Don't ask them for help. Figure out a way to prop them up so that they might invite me into their fold. And so help me, Shu. It was just miraculous how it happened. If you get to my books, you'll see the legends of America. Wow. who I ever met in person or spoke to by phone. Mm-hmm. And it was just by way of introduction by folks who I thought I would never meet. Mm-hmm. And it so happens that the subject matter that I wanted to talk about, everybody wanted to talk about. I'm trying to think of the word of the naysayers. They kind of operated like a star chamber, if you go back to the Bible. Mm. You know, that they met amongst themselves. They made decisions about me without talking to me. And they said, well, we'll talk to you if you do this, this, and this, and this. The star chamber was, you know, before Puritan Europe, where you would be called to trial and you couldn't show up for your trial, and people passed judgment on you without you having a chance to defend yourself.
Yeah.
And so star chamber kind of hangs on me. And these are some folks that I knew for a long, long time. A common element among a particular group is they're not Christian. Mm-hmm. One might say, I'm not very religious. Well, that's like saying you're not very pregnant. You're what you are or you aren't. Mm-hmm. Another guy said, oh, I go to the church of seven-day non-attendance. I don't. Another guy said, religion is what causes most of the wars in the world. Mm-hmm. And I felt like with that last guy, I felt like saying, well, let's take it war by war. Mm-hmm. You know, that is very shallow thinking.
Not only you have to stand up for what you want to do that was different, it sounds like you also kind of have to stand, you had to stand up and defend your faith, you know, in the process.
Yeah, well, I wasn't, I've left that star chamber behind me. I have considered, you know, sending them an email saying, you know what you all have in common? You are godless, you know, you're very shallow thinkers, but there's nothing to be gained by that.
Right.
So I move forward.
Focus on your own recovery, own journey, own progress. And sometimes just by being who we are, we impact change. But for,
Absolutely. So I tend to drone on for too long. Let me let you take the mic again.
No, appreciate you sharing. And I wanted to just know before we close here, if you don't mind sharing with us where people can get your books and how they can connect with you.
You can Google my name, Peter Stoddard. Peter Stoddard Lewis Grizzard will lead to a lot of things I've written. My books are available on Amazon. The first is Lewis Grizzard, : the dog, D-A-W-G, that did not hunt. The second is Lewis Grizzard, the dog who loved to prowl. Mm-hmm. I've got another book, Why Puritans Matter Now More Than Ever. Mm-hmm. A fourth book, The Richest Bostonian. You can find them all on Amazon. Some are available on Walmart.com. Some are available on BooksAMillion.com. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I welcome the opportunity for anybody in the Southeast U.S. I will come speak to your group, whether it's about Puritans and how they led to independent thought and the American Revolution and American independence, or I think the world today is ready for some humor, and I can tell I can do 30 to 90 minutes about Louis Grizzard with a slideshow. Mm-hmm. I can do a G-rated, a PG-rated, an R-rated.
Depending on the audience's needs, right?
Yeah, he was never profane. He was mm-hmm. never profane. Mm-hmm. But Shu, thank you for having me. My phone number, 678-725-5889. I do not have an agent. I do not have people. My email address, stoddardmedia@gmail.com. I really welcome direct contact. And if in 2022, I can generate so much activity that I need an agent, I will be a happy man.
Well, we hope you do get to that point, but definitely keep, you know, pursuing what, you know, brings you joy and keep serving, because, you know, you definitely are a light and an inspiration. So thank you again, Peter, for being here today.
Shay, I can't thank you enough for your invitation.
Yeah. For everyone listening and watching, we hope this was enjoyable and uplifting. And like Peter been sharing about following your happy place during those hard times and being clear on what is good for you and to you. And sometimes that requires pulling away from naysayers and finding voice, your voice in the midst of, you know, adversity, and also defending what you want to pursue and what you believe in. So thank you, Peter. Those are all the lessons that I take with me. And thank you also for the beautiful history lesson. And so it's really good to, you know, learn about someone new that I didn't know about before.
Blessings to you. May I call you my newest BFF forever?
That's all good. You know, honor to be your friend.
Thank you, Shu. Likewise.
All right. Take care. Blessings to you as well.
Good night.
Good night.